Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. We have a 3-module digital course that will show you how to build a better, more profitable architecture firm, and we want you to have it for free. Gain access to Profit for Small Firm Architects right now at entrearchitect.com/freecourse. Entree Architect Podcast, episode 117. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. Every new generation of architects enters the profession with the idea that they will make a difference and they will change society for the better. Well, with new skills and access to new tools and a driving passion to serve others, this next generation of architects may just be the ones to do it. This week on Entree Architect Podcast, the president of the American Institute of Architecture Students, Danielle Mitchell, and I chat about architecture, students, leadership, and how the next generation of architects will change the world. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. Danielle Mitchell, president of the American Institute of Architecture Students. Welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you very much, Mark. I'm really excited to be here.
It's great having you here. I'd like to get started like I do with all my guests. I'd like to get down to your origin story and talk about where you've come from, sort of how you discovered architecture and your journey to where you are today.
Sure. So similar to many architects, I had a real passion for art growing up as a kid. I was always selling some type of different artwork piece in garage sales and trying to figure out how I could get my drawings to see the world. But then obviously going throughout school, trying to find where I could really align my passions with art and design with a more tangible and impactful field, architecture fell into my lap as really just a second thought. And I ended up getting introduced to a summer camp that Penn State University was hosting going into my senior year of high school. And at the time, I really didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life, wasn't even considering Penn State very seriously, went to this 1 week summer camp. And in that 1 week, I was completely turned around to absolutely loving architecture and knowing that that was the path that I needed to follow. So just seeing the way that you go through a design process, that you think very abstractly and creating concepts into forms, into actual functioning spaces, I very quickly fell in love with and ended up spending my 5 years at Penn State University getting my undergrad there. So it was definitely a fantastic experience. And then, right now, obviously, with the American Institute of Architecture students, that quickly became very important to my education. So, as a first year, I was just finishing up a studio project. I just had my review, and one of the upper years in our studios came down and said, hey, does anyone want to go to this conference? It's going to be at the University of Buffalo. We're heading out next Friday, and if you want to come, we really want you to come. So I was sitting there really not knowing what my what I was going to do, but having no reason to say no to going to this conference. And yeah, that sounds cool. I get to hang out with some of the upper years in studio. Like, that'll be great. So I jump in this car with them, go to University of Buffalo, and suddenly was welcomed into the crazy, wonderful world of the AIAS.
Yeah.
So at that time, it was the biggest thing for me was just getting to know the people within my own university and trying to find mentors, find friends that could help me fix my parallel rule when it would break down, and connect me to all of the different opportunities that there were at Penn State. But after going to this conference, I realized just how many more opportunities there were within the AIAS. So that was still in first year. And coming home from that conference, I was asked by the current chapter president if I wanted to run for president. And I laughed because that sounded like a funny joke
in
to
your,
me.
In your first year or your second year?
My first year.
First year.
So this is after my first weekend of anything AIAS related.
Yeah. So your first experience with AIAS was Forum? Was that?
So my first experience was this conference, right?
Yeah.
So this was a quad conference.
Oh, it was a quad conference. Okay.
It's a smaller regional conference.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you came back from that and they said, hey, you want to be president?
Yep. Yeah. And so, I mean, at that time, I had just come out of high school where I didn't speak, let alone lead anything. I was definitely very much kept to myself, doesn't really get too involved in a whole lot. And all of a sudden, I was being asked to be a chapter president as a first year. So I still remember after going to the elections and being successful against one other person who didn't take the role very seriously, that calling my mom and saying that I was going to be a chapter president in my second year of school, and she thought I was kidding.
Yeah.
Because that was just something I would never have done. Yeah, so then I kind of took it upon myself and the three board members that I had that were also first years to really rebuild our AIS chapter. So AIS quickly became a very, very important part of my education and actually probably took too much of a front-running position to my studio classes, but it landed me here, so I guess it worked out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we really built up the program, and I started to get more and more involved on a national level. We ended up then hosting a conference at Penn State in my third year of school. And at that time, the current Northeast Quad Director of the AIS board decided to step down. And at that point, the board asked me if I would step up into the role. So midway through my third year, I'm chapter president, hosting a quad conference, suddenly asked to join this national board of directors, which I know nothing about, and still trying to pass studio, which I just barely did. but it was the best semester, and I learned so much from it. And then from there, just continued to get further and further involved to the point that I am right now.
And yeah. And so you just worked your way through national. So what was your first position? Your first position on the national level was on the national board.
Yes.
Filling the role of someone else.
Correct.
And then, you had to be reelected, right?
Exactly.
For that position.
Yes.
And so how long were you as a board member?
So let's see, I was in my third year, I was a board member for about 6 months. So I filled in that second semester. Then I took a year break. So I went abroad in my fourth year to Rome, came back, and then ran again for the same quad director position. So this would be really taking the lead with chapters everywhere from Virginia to Maine, all the way over to West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And then, so came back over our forum conference, which is over New Year's, ran for that position in my fourth year, and then had a full term as quad director in my fifth year. So then while in that role, it was really nice because I had a chance to continue to work with some of the same leaders and have an understanding of schools within the Northeast that I could build upon that were at that point then 3 years ongoing. So I had a really fantastic Northeast quad director that was in between my two terms that really built up the role so that when I came back into it, I had everything there on a silver platter. And then the Northeast since has definitely been growing and expanding. So it's been nice to see that now 5 years later as president that we're actually right now I'm in Boston getting ready to speak with Wentworth and Massard about their hosting of Forum in 2016. So it all is starting to come full circle.
Yeah, I've been following you on Facebook and I see that you're traveling all over the country and speaking and meeting with different chapters. And I love that you're out there, you know, hustling and making those appearances and getting people excited about what AIS is doing.
Yeah, it's an absolutely incredible experience. I'm really, really fortunate. I absolutely love my job. So I get to work with the most inspirational and passionate architecture students out there who are truly working to change the world, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what's your mission when you're talking to these students? What are you telling them? What's your mission at AIAS?
Yeah, so it's actually funny you ask that because we're currently revising our mission statement. But the main mission of the AIAS, I think, is to promote leadership and excellence within architecture. So we're certainly trying to create a community of architecture students who are looking to push forward and are looking to do more. So the AIS tends to serve as filling a void in an education experience, and that's going to vary for every student, but it could be anything from promoting a strong voice and being an advocate in talking about what you're passionate about, in acting towards what you feel should be going on either within your school or within the profession. And really talking to architecture students about the power that they have as students. You're paying for your education and should be getting the most out of it. So when you create a collective voice at a university or with an AIS chapter, you ultimately can really create a lot of change or create the environment and the culture that you wish to see there. So usually when I go around and speak to students and talking about how to be a leader, how to be a mentor, to find mentors, how you can really start to develop your professional track to be an entrepreneur, you know,
yeah.
And all these sorts of ways that you can use your architecture education to connect you in academia to the profession and to push us as a profession even further than we already are.
Yeah, I love that you are encouraging students to become leaders, that mm-hmm. that they can make a difference, and not only in their own schools, but in the entire profession by stepping up and saying what they believe and doing what they do. So it's great that you're out there talking about those things. Why do you think that's important? Why do you think it's important that that architecture students not just learn architecture and design great buildings, but why do you think it's important that they do sort of step up and become leaders?
So really, architects come throughout their education and come into the world as with a very, very unique skill set. So you as an architect with architectural training are able to problem solve. You're able to understand complex situations and take a holistic perspective towards what a solution can be. So a leader, so something that I've learned through my experience with AIS and recognizing the fact that I didn't fit the traditional mold of leadership, a lot of architects, I don't think, necessarily fit that traditional mold or what you would think of as being a leader. However, we have a very, very particular ability to understand people and context. And that understanding and that ability to make connections and bring various perspectives to the table allows us to be fantastic community leaders. So in the same way that we need to advocate for our designs and architecture and think about how we're going to push forward our ideas, we naturally tend to become leaders in that way. So we certainly need to take an even further step in being community leaders. And if we're teaching our architecture students from day one how to be a leader, then hopefully by the time they're principals at their own firms, they can be leaders within their entire communities.
Yeah, I love that. And the idea that architects have this very unique skill set of being able to solve problems, for me, that goes way beyond buildings. That right. I think that architecture and the education of architects can go, you know, into many different fields and still, still be architects, still have that education, have that skill set, still have that title, and not necessarily build buildings. I'm very much an advocate for building strong businesses, mm-hmm. I'm an architect and I design architecture as well. I have an architecture studio. But my passion is business and encouraging others to build strong businesses. I think that there are positions as architects in firms and outside of firms that that architects can fill. That your goal doesn't need to be the designer of buildings.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're similar to that. That it sounds like your passion is leadership and managing of people and helping people make those connections between architecture and the people. Can you talk about that a little bit, about the things that you're interested in?
Sure. Yeah, I certainly have a true passion that lies deeper for the community of architecture and design than actually the discipline itself.
So I can relate to that.
Yeah. So right now, I'm in a very privileged position to see students in the profession and their role within communities. And I recognize the skills that we as architects can bring to the table. So I'm definitely trying to use my understanding of people and connect the ways that architects can infiltrate into different discussions and contexts and trying to fill voids in which architects can really be a really great change maker. So in the same way that architects look to change the shape of buildings, we can certainly change the shape of complex problems that our communities are facing too. So leadership ultimately comes down to just being able to use your architectural skill set to do so much more. And I think that we as a profession owe it to ourselves and owe it to our family and friends to take that next step. And so the AIS is, for me, a way to hopefully push that incentive and push that ownership in change making and in doing the right thing and taking an extra step towards towards greatness in architecture and how to do that.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to FreshBooks for their support as a platform sponsor of Entree Architect, because as a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our overall mission here at Entree Architect. They recognize the need for small firms like us to build better businesses in order to be better architects. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use accounting software designed to help us small firm owners get organized, save time, and get paid faster. It takes care of invoicing, expense tracking, estimating, reporting, and it all happens out on the cloud, so you have access to your information from anywhere that you have access to the internet. And I use FreshBooks for my own small firm, Five Cat Studio, and my favorite feature of the FreshBooks software is sending my invoices by email and allowing my clients to pay by credit card. When FreshBooks says that you'll get paid faster, they're not kidding. With the convenience of clicking a button and paying by credit card, many of my clients pay now as soon as they receive their invoice. And for those clients who don't pay right away, FreshBooks automatically sends them a reminder of the balance due at an interval that I set. So once I send an invoice, I can go back to being an architect, and I don't need to chase down any of my clients. And Tim Lee of FreshBooks will show you how easy it is to send invoices by email on our exclusive video series Tim and I produced exclusively for the Entree Architect community. Check out this free video series at entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo. There's no catch. There's no email. It's completely free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo and you will get the videos right away. There's three of them. Shows you everything you need to know about getting started. And then go to FreshBooks.com/Architect and sign up for your free 30-day trial and give it a try. It's free. I suggest you just send one invoice and see what happens. That's how I got started. Just send one invoice to one client and see how it works. And when I did that and I got paid much faster than usual, I signed up for the rest of it and I set up my whole account in FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com/architect for your free 30-day trial. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. It takes a very unique skill set to be a leader and to be change makers. It's it's difficult, as you know. You said that you know you were sort of never expecting to end up in the position that you're in. If you look at yourself as a first year architecture student and to where you are today, very different than where you expected to be, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of steps to get through who you were to who you are. Are there things that the AIAS at a national level and at a chapter level that are they doing that kind of training, or is it just sort of encouragement and support?
Yeah, so we absolutely are working to do that type of training. So, I mean, the first thing that we do is we have a grassroots leadership conference that is in the summer every year, and the original intent of that conference was to be for our chapter leaders. So you would come to Washington, D.C. in the summer before you started your term as a chapter president or chapter secretary, and you would come to learn about leadership excellence, how to work with people on your team, how to work with your administration, how you can connect your AIS chapter to the AIA and to the professionals. How you budget, how to create fundraising events, just talking about all of these things within chapter management that ultimately lead you to being a better leader in whatever it is that you choose to focus on. So that grassroots conference is our biggest skills development conference, and we've since expanded our leadership track into having a entrepreneurship track and a technology track, as well as Freedom by Design, which is our community service program. It's a design build program that happens at AIS chapters, which is absolutely fantastic, and a career track as well, so working on specific professional development.
So you have different tracks, and so what entails the track? If somebody wants to get onto the entrepreneur track, how does that work? What happens, and what do they get out of that?
We just started this track system just a couple of years ago, and we just added technology and entrepreneurship actually this past year. And the reason that we did that is because we're seeing that so many architecture students are looking for that, and they're looking to the AIS to provide the resources that they might not be getting within traditional architecture curriculum. And entrepreneurship is certainly one of those things. So for any member, if you're looking to learn more about how to start your own business, how to kind of take your own initiative once you enter a firm, we have this entrepreneurship track that is bringing in professionals that are either within architecture or not. Usually they're local to DC, so you're getting a little bit of local flair to it. And really trying to get you exposure to what it's like to be either working in entrepreneurial aspects or thinking about professional development, or focusing on the newest technology trends. So bringing in these experts to the different tracks and then allowing students to either focus on one track or jump back and forth between multiple. So for our leadership track, we have actually peers who are doing all of the different sessions. So all AIS members are the ones who are leading those leadership tracks. So we on the national board tend to take the reins on those presentations and then have an opportunity to speak one-on-one with our chapter leaders that those conversations last throughout the year. So that's sort of a little preview as to how it all works.
That's fantastic. Do you think, and I sense that they are, do you think that the current architecture students, this next generation of architects, you think they're different than the existing architects, the existing generation? Do you think they're coming in with a different point of view?
So the whole generation conversation is really, really interesting to me. I had an opportunity to sit on a millennial panel in New York actually just a month ago or so. But I think that my gut response is that we as a generation aren't that different. However, our exposure and our ability to take advantage of resources is different. So we come out of school, we're much more civic minded. So that I do think is a generational shift in the sense that we're constantly thinking about nonprofit and pro bono. We're constantly thinking about how we can serve rather than kind of just going away from the starchitect perception. It was actually pretty interesting. One of the questions that we asked at our grassroots leadership conference last summer to all of our chapter presidents was, if you were to start architecture today, if it didn't have hundreds of years of history behind it, what do you think the profession should do? Or what should it be?
Great
And
question.
it was really interesting, and we had some awesome responses. But the general consensus was killing the idea of Howard Roark, getting rid of the starchitect perception, and being true servants and being using our skills to serve others. So there's definitely a much stronger sense of community. And students are coming out of school looking for opportunities to see a direct impact of what they're doing. So that tends to fall into nonprofit work or into at least opportunities where they can instantly see the gratification of who they're working for. So, for example, our Freedom by Design program. This is a program in which students at a university will do their own design build for someone who is in need, whether that's a physical disability, financial inability, mental, really anything like that, in which architectural services can help them and improve their lives and give them freedom. So this program is starting to really, really gain a lot of traction. And it's been around for 10 years. But at this point, other organizations are turning to us as the AIS and trying to figure out how they can get involved with Rooted by Design. Whereas 10 years ago, the idea of this program was going around to the AIA and to NCARB and to a few others, and they weren't that interested in it, whereas the AIS was thrilled. They couldn't wait to get their hands on a program like this that would give design, build, and community service opportunity. So I think you can just tell that that aspect is very, very important to students. So as a generation, we're coming out of school and we're looking to see a direct impact of our work, and we're looking for opportunities that we can make a difference, no matter how small it might be, that's going to give us that sort of instant gratification of the hard work that we put into it.
I would say that I would also encourage students and this next generation to sort of try to blend the two.
Mm-hmm.
To create businesses that are thriving and profitable,
right,
and give back.
Yeah.
Those businesses serve. Have them have the purpose of those businesses serve others, but make them thriving, profitable businesses. Because profit's not bad. It's what drives the success. It's what drives the ability to do more of that good service. And I think that's a very strong message that needs to be made, that nonprofit's great. But if you can create profit,
mm-hmm.
create something that actually builds a strong business, you can do more. You can actually create more service. You can create more. You can give back more. And so that would just be one thing that I would encourage students to think about. That because I think that the pendulum swings.
Right.
And sometimes it swings so far that they just want to serve. And mm-hmm. then what happens is that it's not sustainable.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you look at Architecture for Humanity and how far it swung, it didn't work. You know, mm-hmm. if they structured that more as a business, they would have been able to sustain that mission. I know it's coming back, and there's other people that are trying to bring it back.
That's a fantastic point, though.
But it's something that I think that students sometimes, in their eagerness to give back and to serve, mm-hmm. they forget that money's not bad. It's corruption that's bad.
Yeah.
And so to structure these organizations to be able to sustain themselves will allow them to grow and grow beyond the people who are creating them.
Definitely. That's very, very true. So certainly in the same sense that we're talking about serving, we're also talking about value.
Yes.
So a big thing that the AIS discusses is this idea of studio culture. And a value of your time and your skills. So studio culture has been a big topic within the AIS for 15 plus years now. And it's really talking about changing the behaviors of an all-nighter culture, the ego that's built up when you're not sleeping, you're not going to your other classes, you're ordering pizza at 3 a.m., and all of these unhealthy behaviors that architecture school tends to have a prideful reaction to. So the AIS is really trying to flip that on its head and allow students to be leaders, in the sense that they're the ones that are changing those perceptions. They're the ones that are changing the myths of what is the correct behavior and what is going to be successful. So it's sort of, this is a long way of relating back to the idea of value and profit, is that if we're able to shift that mindset of students from day one, in the sense that you should be having a healthy, balanced life,
right,
and you should be valuing yourself and your time, hopefully that will then allow them to enter the profession with an understanding of what they bring to the table and the value that they have, in terms of the fact that you do need to be compensated and you do need to be working with time management and thinking about how you're going to build profit and be sustainable. So that's certainly the opposite end of things we're trying to push forward as well.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And that's the message that I try to get out there to architects and students, that it's strong businesses that will help build this profession back right. to the strength that it once was. And it will allow us to give back to society more. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do the things that we're good at and live that balanced, healthy life because we'll have the financial resources to do so.
Yeah.
So what's next for Danielle Mitchell? After AIAS, what are your plans? Where are you going after that?
This is the million-dollar question that I wish I had an answer for.
Generally, maybe not a specific place, but generally, what do you want to explore? Like where do you want to go?
So right now what I'm exploring is the idea of design strategy. Thinking about how I can remain within the profession of architecture, but it's serving in a role for a firm, or maybe not even a firm, that would allow me to work with our clients. So I have had an opportunity to really understand what it means to connect society at large and the reasoning behind architecture and design. And in the way that architects tend to speak in this different language and have thought processes that are difficult for the everyday person to fully understand, I definitely would love to be in a role where I can try to bring clients and bring the everyday people into those conversations and allow them to feel very much involved with whatever changes are taking place. So trying to combine this change management and abilities to create organizational change during architectural change. So ideally serving in a role that would allow me to continue to be a connector between architecture and people and make the process of architecture much more enjoyable and personal for the everyday person too.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to go.
Yeah. So yeah. If you know of any jobs, let me know.
Yeah. Well, you may have to create your own.
I might.
Which may not be a bad thing as an entrepreneur who used to sell her artwork as a child.
That's true.
You were born entrepreneur and you just don't know it.
Right.
So if there's anything I can do to help, definitely reach out.
I will.
I'm happy to help. AIAS.org is AIAS's website. You're on Twitter at @D_Mitch, MITCH19. Any place else people can reach out and connect with you if they wanted to?
Yeah, Instagram right now is a big one.
What's your username on Instagram?
Same. I think it's Danielle Mitchell 19. I think that's just
okay,
one.
Okay, well, you don't have to look it up. We'll look it up and put it in the show notes. So check her out on Instagram. Anywhere else?
Then Facebook too. Yeah. So really connecting all of the social medias, and usually everything that I talk about ends up having something to do with AIAS. So
yeah. So we'll put all those links on the show notes so
perfect.
People can connect with you there.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap up here?
Let's see. I guess just in terms of leadership, it's really exciting to see the idea of leadership coming to the forefront of the minds of architects. And it's one of the things that the AIAS is very, very passionate about, and our members are leaders no matter what capacity they serve in. So I would just leave my last bit of inspiration being that we as a profession, I think a lot of times have to look back on ourselves and who we were during those first couple weeks of architecture school and think about the our ability to have this immortality and this this true sense of the fact that we're going to change the world, and it doesn't matter what obstacles we face, that we're going to do it. So just whenever challenges occur and when times get tough, remembering back to the inspiring days that led you to architecture and design and how your leadership skills can really push that forward for our upcoming generation.
Yeah, those are good words. Yeah, Danielle, thank you for your service to our profession.
Absolutely. And thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. And thank you for sharing your knowledge here today on Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you.
Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode may be found at entrearchitect.com/episode117. You can subscribe to the show over at iTunes at entrearchitect.com/iTunes, and you can leave us a review and a rating over there while you're at it. And come join us over at our Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group. You can we talk about architecture and leadership, and you can even let us know what you think about this next generation of architects. You can access the Facebook group over at entrearchitect.com/group. And if you're an architect or an architecture student, you can ask for access and we will grant it. And it's a great group over there. We're having some really, really deep conversations. So go over to entrearchitect.com/group and join us. And don't forget to pick up access to your free 3-module digital course. This is an important one. Profit for Small Firm Architects. It teaches you everything you need to know to be profitable. Just head over to entrearchitect.com/free course. That's easy to remember. And it's a valuable course. If we weren't giving it away, we'd be selling it for like $200, $300, maybe $500. So it's a valuable course. We put a lot of effort into it and we want you to have it for free because we want you to be profitable. My name is Mark R. LePage and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go share what you know. See you next week. Thank you for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.